Yo, what's going on, guys? Nathan here, back with the Unplugged Freedom Podcast. So today I want to talk about something, and that is doing things that are uncomfortable and why it's so beneficial for you and your mindset, your psychology, And I'm going to talk about a couple things. And one that I've been doing for a while, which is cold showers. I know it sounds crazy, but you will understand. And if you actually take this into account as to and do it for yourself, you'll see just how beneficial it is. And then the other one I actually just started last week, and which is walking barefoot, going hiking barefoot. And I'm going to talk about a couple of these and why it's extremely good for you. So to go on to cold showers, we'll start with. There's a couple of things that I love about taking cold showers. And there's three big reasons why I think that cold showers are super good for you, among all the other benefits. The first one is, in order to take a cold shower, in order to jump into a cold shower, I'm talking cold, okay, like cold. For you guys, trust me, I'm talking cold, so cold it's painful. So, in order for you to be able to jump into a cold shower, you have to actually get your mindset into it. So you have to put yourself into what's called a peak state. Now here's the thing. When you get yourself into a peak state, you have to actually keep yourself there. And because if you don't keep yourself in that peak state, if you get yourself into that peak state and then you lose that peak state, what's going to happen is you're actually going to jump out of the shower. So what you want to actually do is you want to keep yourself, and you have to keep yourself into that peak state in order to be able to stay in the shower. And you want to take one, depending on how cold it is, it can be anywhere from 3 to 5 minutes. And trust me, if it's cold, you won't be able to last 5 minutes. And if it's at that kind of perfect temperature, then you'll get to a point where you could stay in it for 10 minutes, kind of like a point of no return, you could say. So that's the first reason. You're getting yourself into a peak state, and then you're keeping yourself, you're forcing yourself to stay in that peak state. Psychologically, this is actually creating new neurological patterns inside your brain. You're doing something that you don't want to do. You are building up your courage. You are, let's say you did this every morning before you went to work. You wake up, you go to have your cold shower. Guess what? You are starting your day by putting yourself into a peak state and then keeping yourself into that peak state as well. Imagine how your days would look if you kept this up day in and day out. If that's how you started your day, you started your day by putting yourself into a peak state and keeping yourself there. Psychologically, you have no choice but to succeed after that. You're starting at a 10 in your day, whereas most people, how do they get up? They hit the snooze button 10 times. They finally groggily get out of bed. They turn on the hot shower. Anybody can hop into a hot shower, okay? Who doesn't enjoy a nice, warm, hot shower? You get in there and you're lost in it. You're kind of thinking, oh, I got to do that. I got to do that today. Oh, I got to call that guy again. And oh, I hate talking to that guy. Oh, man. And you're just having a shower. You're washing your hair. You're doing whatever you do. And then you get out and you're making your coffee. And you're like, oh, man, I forgot. I got to go stop at that place before I go into the office and pick that package up. That means I gotta leave 15 minutes earlier. Man. So that's how a lot of people actually start their day. Now imagine you start your day with a cold shower. It's scary to just hop into a cold shower. I'll tell you that right now. You turn on the cold shower. You're standing out there. I literally have a playlist on my Spotify for cold showers. It's certain music that I have to listen to in order to hop into the cold shower and then stay in the cold shower. So you wake up in the morning and there is something, you're starting your day off by doing something you do not want to do. Who wants to jump into a cold ass shower? So you turn on the cold shower and you're standing there. For me personally, I turn on my music as well and I'm like, all right, let's do it. And I got the music pumping. I get myself into that state. You know, you're making your move, as Tony Robbins would say. You're like, yeah, here we go. Even thinking about it right now, like, it puts me into a different state. So you're there, you're standing, you're like, okay, here we go. I'm gonna do this. In 3, 2, 1, boom. And you get into that cold shower. It hits you like a fucking freight train. And that's where you have to have the strength in order to keep yourself at that peak state. Because if you drop that peak state, you're jumping out of that shower. So you are forced to keep yourself into that peak state. So there you are, boom. You're in the peak state, it's cold as shit, and you're just like, holy crap. But you're keeping yourself there. Now, imagine keeping yourself in that state for 5 minutes straight and then coming out of the shower. Do you see how different that is to hop into a cold shower right in the morning versus hopping into a hot shower where you can easily start think of all the shit that you have to do that day, think of all the just negative things that have happened to you? Can you see how that actually works? How do you think your morning would be different? You hop out of a cold shower after 5 minutes, after doing something that you didn't enjoy, but guess what? You did it. And I can't tell you how you feel afterwards, that sense of accomplishment afterwards, where you're like, I just did that. I didn't want to do it 5 minutes ago. Even when I got into it, I still didn't want to do it. I wanted to cut it short. But I pursued, I kept with it, and here I am. I just did it. And that sense of accomplishment right in the morning, right after you wake up in the morning, and that sense of accomplishment, like, do you see how you're starting at a level 10 than starting at a level 0? That's just the first reason as to why I like cold showers. We're going to get on to the other two. Now, the other two is, the second one, you have to control your breathing. I've done a lot of research and studying into breathing and how powerful it is. There's actually different breathing techniques to relieve stress, to motivate yourself, to focus yourself. There's something called box breathing that is actually really cool. It's used by the Navy SEALs. And so with breathing, when you hop into a cold shower, you have to control your breathing because it hits you. If you've ever jumped into a cold lake, maybe a cold river or something, or even a cold shower, your breathing is one of the first things to go. It's extremely hard to breathe. You're kind of like, you almost feel like you can't breathe. It's such a shock to your system. So you're in this peak state, you're fired up, and now you have to take control of your breath. So you're breathing, not heavily in a bad way, but you're controlled breathing. You're there and you're taking those deep breaths and it's holding you in that peak state. And it's a battle. But when you take control of your breathing, you can free yourself of so many ailments. Now, this isn't medical advice, but if you actually look into just controlling your breathing, if you were to just breathe for an entire hour, let's say, what would happen is your whole mindset would change, your whole energy, your physiology, so much would change. It's incredible. And I don't know, maybe your DNA would change within that hour too. I'm not sure. But so much happens chemically in your brain, physically to your body, everything, just by breathing, just by changing your breathing. So here you are, you're starting your day, you're doing something immediately that you do not want to do, and now you're focused on changing your breathing. Your breathing is in control. So imagine starting your day like that. Or if somebody who has, let's say they're anxious and they have anxiety, or at least they tell themselves that they have anxiety, how do they get up in the morning and how are they actually breathing? Usually short and shallow breaths. Or maybe they're not breathing. They're just kind of like, they have to remind themselves, oh no, I gotta, that leads to anxiety as well. So you're starting your morning breathing. You're starting your morning doing something that you don't want to do, and you have to put yourself into a peak state in order to do it. And in order to accomplish it, you have to keep yourself in that peak state. The third reason, among all the other benefits with cold showers that I personally like, because I'm a whole mindset guy, I like the psychology behind things, is that you are forced to be in the moment. You can't think of the bad day that you had yesterday. You can't think of all the shit that you have to deal with today. You can't think of how your boss treated you yesterday, how your wife or your husband argued with you. You can't think of those things in a cold shower. Try it. It's extremely hard, so you're focused on the moment. So if you ever pick up a book or watch any trainings on how to be in the moment, they'll always tell you, think of something that you can taste in the air right now. Try and find a taste. Or they might say, try and find one smell. There's probably a lot of different smells that are happening right now. Try and just pick out one. And you could probably find that one. And if you can do that, then that means you're in the moment. They might also say, think of the feeling of where you're sitting on the chair. Think of the pressure that is happening between you and the chair right now. Or think of the feeling of the socks that are on your feet right now. That is putting you in the moment, and any video or training that is teaching you how to be in the moment will many times refer to things like that. Now, when you're having a cold shower, you are only focusing on one thing in that moment. That cold fucking shower. And I've been on ones where I thought that was the end of me. It was that cold. And so you have this cold shower, and that's really, you can't even think of anything else. Whereas person A, he's hopping into a warm hot shower. He's thinking of all the shit that he's got to do today. Oh man, I got to do that again. Oh man, I didn't do that. I forgot to grab that. Oh no. And he's stressing himself out before he even gets to work. But here's person B, here's you, where you're pumping yourself up, putting yourself into a peak state. You're keeping yourself in that peak state. You're jumping into a cold shower. You're forced to take control of your breathing right in the morning. And then now you're forced to just focus on the moment. Not focus on anything else. And you do this for 5 minutes straight. And then guess what? You get to that point, you get to that 5 minutes or wherever it is. Sometimes for me, depending on how cold it is, can be three and a half minutes. And then you come out. And then you have that sense of accomplishment. How you feel after doing something like that. You have this incredible sense of accomplishment. I don't know if it's endorphins or dopamine or whatever it is, but you'll feel it. You get out of that shower and you're like, I did that. How would you feel starting your morning accomplishing something like that? And you say, I did that. That was incredible. I bet, like for me, myself, I have many times a big smile on my face because a lot of times I don't want to do it. So those are the three reasons as to why I believe cold showers are absolutely incredible. do that every single day. Start your day like that every single day. Or here's another tip for you, is you could also add it between when you come home from work, before you start your day, have a cold shower. I always say when people come home from work and before they start their evening or their home time, put in between there a layer of state change. Whether that be working out, whether that be meditation, whether that be a cold shower, something. Put that between your work coming home and your evening, let's say. Let's say you work a 9-to-5. In between there, before you even start your day, like after work, you put that in there. I guarantee you, your evenings will be incredible. Because you are releasing yourself from everything that happened that day, whether it be good or bad. If it was good, well, guess what? It's only going to be better. If it was bad, well, guess what? You just forgot about it for 5 minutes from a cold shower. You forgot about it from an hour of a workout. And then you're starting your evening. You get home, you're excited, you cook up dinner, totally forgot about the bad day that you had, whatever it is. So that's one thing that you can do. So that's cold showers, and that's the three reasons as to why I love taking cold showers. Now, the other thing that I actually just started last week is hiking barefoot. Now, this is something that I was just going, what I actually wanted to do. I don't know if you've ever heard of Vibram five-finger shoes. They're basically like toe shoes. They're very thin on the bottom. They can be indifferent. They can be very thin, so you feel stuff on the ground, or they can be a little bit thicker. But they look like feet, and they're just basically, each individual toe will go inside of it. I've had these shoes for 8 years, these kinds of shoes. I think I'm on my third or fourth pair. My latest one, I think, are close to 5 years old. And so what I wanted to do is go for a hike and wear these shoes. And the reason that I wanted to is because if you have never tried or experienced or heard of reflexology, which is all I know is that it's massaging of the feet, the bottoms of the feet. Your feet are connected to pretty much every part of your body. And if your feet are not properly worked, you could have tension or stress or many things just because of your feet. So that's why reflexology, if you look into it, there's just a whole bunch of cool stuff with it. So when I wanted to go out for this hike, that's what I was really looking for. I wanted that because your feet are, they're moving and they're bending in many different ways when you wear these kinds of shoes. So that's what I wanted to do, is go experience walking on the trail and the rocks and the mud and everything where my feet is bending and twisting and the muscles are working. Because if you put on, let's say, a hiking boot, your foot can literally just go into that boot and just not have to work. Doesn't even have to work. It can work like a little bit, but barely. But when you have these Vibram five-finger shoes on, your very first day, if you've never had something like this before, I remember the first time I bought them, 2012, actually, I think when I was living in my car, sleeping in my car for a month, I remember walking down this grass and across this bridge, and I went on for like just a walk for a few hours. My feet were so sore afterwards. It's because my feet now had been able to move in new ways that I'd never experienced before. And it was like I worked them out, which is exactly what it is. So anyways, I went on this hike, and it's about like, let's say, 45 minutes, an hour up it, if you're just walking. And I got to a point, like probably about just over halfway, and I'm looking down at my feet, and I'm wearing my Vibrams, and I'm thinking, I'm just not getting what I was hoping I was going to get from this. And I want more. And I got the Vibrams that are a little bit thicker because I used to play tennis in them, actually. And I wanted more from them. And I said, oh, I wish these ones were thinner. Because then I would be able to feel the rocks and the shapes and everything much more. And so then I thought, what would happen if I actually just took them off and I walked up barefoot? And I've read about this before and I've seen articles and give it fancy names like earthing and, you know, can we just call it walking barefoot? So that's where I took my shoes off and I just started walking up barefoot. And it was amazing because it felt so good. The sensations that you feel. And where I took my shoes off, it was kind of like a sharp shale, but it's kind of very fine in a way. And it felt so good. And I was like, man, this is amazing. You just feel the sensations. Sometimes it hurts. Yes, absolutely. Sometimes it hurts. But when it's not hurting, when you don't step on those bigger rocks, it feels amazing. You feel things that you've never felt before. These sharp, you know, it's like a beautiful massage of like so many different elements on the bottoms of your feet. And that's where the reflexology comes in. So I walked up and there were, yeah, of course, there's points where you'll step on a rock at the wrong point and it is a little bit painful, but it's all part of it. The risk is worth the reward. So I walked up and I got to the top and I was like, wow, that was cool. But what I also realized is that it was very, the similar reasons as to why I liked it was very similar to the reasons why I like cold showers, the three reasons that I just told you. Except I thought, this one, I'm doing something uncomfortable. You don't necessarily have to put yourself into a peak state and keep yourself like you do a cold shower. And then at the time, I also thought, well, you don't all actually have to really take control of your breathing like you do with a cold shower when you're walking barefoot. But it also had its own benefits as well. You were exercising your feet, you were massaging your feet, so you're opening up these new things with your body. Like I did it yesterday, like today I feel fucking amazing. And then what you're also doing is you're connecting to the Earth's energy. Now, I don't want to get too woo-woo on you because I want to, you know, keep you here. But the Earth and everything, it obviously has energy. I'm a factual, logical kind of guy, and that's a fact, right? There is an energy of the Earth. Now, when we put on shoes, running shoes, hiking shoes, we're putting this big, thick layer in between us and that energy. And if you look at any electrical cable that is around you right now, what is it surrounded by? When you plug in the plug to your TV, to your whatever it may be, to your car battery, what is it surrounded by? Surrounded by rubber, plastic. And that's for a very specific reason. It's to protect you. It's to make sure that it creates that barrier between that energy, which is what's going through that cable. Energy is going through that cable. It's to protect you from that. Now, think of that. That's what's happening. You are energy. And so is the Earth. And you're putting this rubber barrier between you and that energy. What do you think's happening? You're disconnecting yourself from that energy. Like I said, I don't want to get too woo-woo on you here, but this is real shit, all right? Now imagine taking away that, either by thinning it, because if you have a thin layer of rubber or plastic. And I've had this before with spark plugs. When I was a mechanic in the military, we had these boards that had spark plugs, and that's how they taught you. And I remember I was taking the rubber off of one while it was running, and it shocked me through the rubber. And it's because the rubber wasn't all that great. But if it was a thicker rubber, maybe even a different kind of rubber, maybe I wouldn't have gotten shocked. But I remember my whole arm just, it was crazy. So if you thin out that rubber, like wearing Vibram five-finger shoes, or there's also other kinds of barefoot walking types of shoes, you thin out that rubber, you're going to connect yourself to that, to the energy of that earth a lot more. Now, if you take it away completely, imagine what's going to happen. So that's what happens with me. So I walked up to this hill and I was like, wow. So I'm getting this amazing massage on my feet. So I'm releasing a whole lot of things within my body. Feeling great afterwards. I'm exercising my feet as well. I'm normally a pretty flat-footed person, so this is only much more beneficial for that, because like I said, you put yourself into a big shoe, well, your foot doesn't really have to do much exercising within there. It can. That's why a lot of people are actually flat-footed. And then at the same time, you're connecting yourself to the energy. You're actually getting energy from the earth. So, now this actually had changed. I went up and then that same day, I went down the trail again, and there was a spot where it was muddy actually. Most of the time it was kind of gravel, maybe a little bit of grass. And then there's a point near the beginning where it's muddy, and I figured that's where I was going to put my shoes on. And I got to that point. And I said, you know what? What if I just walked on it? It's just hard mud. And it was all amazing because it felt so good on my feet. People think you're crazy. And like, I walk past people in the trail and they're just kind of thinking, I'm really barefoot. Wow, you're so brave. And I walked out the whole trail. And there's even some spots where there's like, because it's a farm, you know, you got to be careful. You don't step in cow shit. And so you get to this point at the end of the trail where now you're walking on grass and it's just like, holy smokes, this is cool. There's so many different elements in there. And then a few days later, after my feet recovered from that, because your feet do get sore because they're literally working out. And then also they're a little bit tender because you're walking on the rocks and, you know, you may get blisters. So if you do this, just be weary of that. Make sure you have your shoes actually close by and do it little bits at a time. So anyways, a few days later, my feet are repaired and they're ready and I go again. So from this time, I want to do from top, bottom to top, back to the bottom. One whole thing. And you start off, and I remember I passed this one family in the trail. And I said, yeah, it's like a great massage. And she says, and I bet you'll get a lot of good elements, minerals. She says, I bet you'll get a lot of good minerals from that as well. And I said, that's a great point. I never thought of that. So these are all the benefits that are amazing with walking barefoot. You're connecting yourself back to the earth. You're massaging your feet. You're releasing a lot of things that are within your body because you're giving yourself a reflexology massage. And then you're also getting a lot of minerals within the ground. And on top of that, you're building your immune system, right? So we're winning in so many different aspects. So if you combine that with cold showers, imagine how your life could change. So what I really liked about the cold showers is like your breathing was really, you really had to take control of your breath in the cold showers. You really had to put yourself in a peak state when doing the cold showers. You didn't necessarily have that with the walking barefoot, but you had its own benefits from there. So you could take the benefits from the cold shower and the benefits from hiking barefoot. And them combined is just amazing. However, so let's go a third time, which was yesterday. I believe it was the third time. Same thing. I wanted to do the whole thing barefoot. And I actually left I left later in the day, so there was actually not very many people on the trail, which was nice. And I got to the first part. The first part's kind of grass. I got through there, and then the second part is kind of like a hard mud. It's very bushy. And I thought, well, nothing's stopping me from running. Like, why can't you just jog through this? So I said, yeah, and you're going uphill. So I just started jogging. I'm jogging barefoot in on this hard-packed mud, and some places were a little bit slimy, and I almost fell. So you always got to be careful. Got to be weary of your limitations and your surroundings and all that stuff. So I just started jogging. So now my breath was intact. So I not only am I getting the other benefits that I mentioned before, but now I'm also getting the breath work in there as well. And so then I get to the top of that part. Now I'm at the next part, which is a gravel road. And there's a pretty rough gravel road. So I just continue walking through there. And then I get onto this other kind of road. You have to get through this gate where I decided to run a little bit more. So maybe I can run on this stuff because it's a little bit easier. And so I started running just a little bit on that. I could see how that was on my feet. And then I got continued walking from there because it changed and got a little bit more rough. And then it wasn't until I got higher where my pace was, I was picking up the pace. I wasn't quite running, but my pace was a fast pace. So my breath was still in there. My breath work was still intact. And then I got to the top. Behind me was actually a couple who was running up this trail. And they finally got to the top. And they said that they did it within about 25 minutes. So I took off and I said, I'm not going to let them pass me. It's just how I am. I want to see how far can I get until they pass me. And they had shoes on, so I didn't. So I started jogging just a little bit more. And this is where it was interesting. So I'm going downhill. And I'm jogging, not fast in this spot because it's kind of rough. But what I enjoyed was that there's a few more benefits. Your breathing really comes intact here, because it is a little bit painful. Like when you're jogging a little bit and you step on something, you can feel it, but it's the breath work that you're doing that relieves that pain a little bit. So that's what's happening, is you're breathing nice and calmly and full. And that's relieving the pain of when you're jogging downhill. Now, it's not like, don't think of it being painful, like in a bad way. But if you're restricting yourself, you feel pain a lot more. That's why a lot of people, when they're doing things, when it comes to pain, your breath work comes into play. So anyways, I'm jogging down this hill trying to get there. And what was also cool is that you're kind of trying to float in a way, because when you're going down, you might hit a point where you step on like that sharp rock, but you have to react really fast. And how you do that is you almost, rather than putting all the pressure that you were about to put onto that foot, you kind of relieve that pressure and you bring in your other foot quickly to relieve that pressure. So in a way, you're kind of floating as you're kind of jogging down this hill, and you're using different muscles when you're doing that. I don't know if you've ever been snowboarding or skiing, and when you are on fresh powder, you're kind of floating in there and you're using a lot of muscles that you've never really used before. So it's kind of similar to that. You're kind of floating down as you're running barefoot, kind of keeping only a certain amount of pressure on your feet. So that's another benefit. Now, another thing that you're also doing when you're doing this jogging, especially when you're jogging barefoot, is your mind is incredibly being worked out as well. So you're looking quickly and you're reacting quickly as to where you can step. So your mind is kind of focused on one thing. So once again, you're present, you're in the moment. And so you're quickly thinking, I'm going to put my foot there. And then from there, you're thinking, where am I going to put my next foot? And like, this is happening in real time and very fast because you're jogging. Okay, I'm going to put my foot there. Okay, I'm going to put my foot there and there. And then maybe you put your foot in a wrong spot where it kind of hurts. So now you really have to think, okay, where how do I relieve this pressure? And where do I put my foot next to get that pressure off my foot? And so you're doing this extremely fast, just boom, 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 boom. So you're kind of exercising your brain and your reaction time. And it's just another benefit on top of everything else that is just amazing. And so you're also doing something that is uncomfortable as well. So going back to the cold showers where you're doing something uncomfortable, imagine when there was a point where at the bottom of the trail, I just started running. And when I got to the end of the trail, the sense of accomplishment, once again, I just did something that was uncomfortable. There were points in that run where I was it was a bit painful, but I did it. And here I am. I got home. My feet feel amazing. Today they feel amazing. And you have that sense of accomplishment, just very similar. So now you have cold showers and you have hiking, running, / jogging barefoot. Can you see how you take those benefits and how that will only better yourself as a person, your psychology, your physiology, your self-esteem, all of that kind of stuff. So if you take someone who may be sad, depressed, unhappy, whatever you want to do, and you get them to incorporate, let's say, one of these things, if not two, for an entire week, how could they not be a different person? How could they their mindset not be in a different place? So that's one thing that I've also added to my tool belt is now barefoot. And I love that trail because there's so many elements. You got grass, you got hard mud, you got soft mud, you got rocks, you got sharp rocks, you've got bigger rounded kind of rocks. There's so much different aspects within there. And now that when I'm adding the element of running, I'm also including the breath work, the uncomfortableness of doing something that is uncomfortable, the brain work of the reaction time and the exercise of the mind. And I think that's, once again, you're getting the elements, the minerals from the earth. You're getting the energy from the earth. And then you're getting, once again, that sense of accomplishment. So you're taking all of this. Now, you don't have to go as far as me. I'm a weirdo like that. I love to go to the extremes. But even if you were to incorporate just one of these things, if you were to switch your shoes out for just Vibram shoes, Vibram five-finger shoes, or any similar barefoot walking shoe, you will see incredible difference. Like I said, you don't have to go fully barefoot like me. But if you went from just a regular running shoe to a barefoot running shoe, you will see an incredible change. You don't have to go to like ice cold showers, but if they were lukewarm, you know, I bet you'll see some changes. But if you're, you know, if you want to take shit to the next level, you want to turn up that dial, go as cold as you can, that it's so cold that you can't go past 5 minutes. Walk barefoot, run barefoot, do whatever you got to do if you want to turn up that dial. So anyways, that is just what I want to share with you. It's a bit of a life hack, and I'll keep you updated on my barefoot running. I would definitely want to do more of this. That's for sure. I want to find new trails, and I want to keep it up. It's so far, the results and everything, like I did it yesterday evening and today I feel freaking amazing. My feet are, they feel strong. I feel strong. So I'll keep you guys updated. And yeah, so that's it for today's podcast, Unplugged Freedom, and hope you enjoyed it. And I hope to continue giving you more cool stuff that you can incorporate into your life that can take you to the next level. Yo, what is up, guys? Nathan back once again with another episode of the Unplugged Freedom Podcast, where we help unplug you from the matrix and the system so that you can see what is actually going on in this world around you. The lies that we are fed, the deception that we are sold. And so we are going to open up your mind, crack it open like a walnut, and expose everything to you. So today, what is it? November 20th, 2020. We are not done with 2020 just yet. So here in Canada, Western Canada, British Columbia, yesterday they actually came out with new guidelines for COVID-19. And I was like, are you fucking serious? Let me see these stupid-ass guidelines. And I look, and there's basically masks everywhere, okay? The usual bullshit of, oh, you can go into a restaurant, but you gotta wear your mask while walking to your table. But once you're sitting at your table, you can then remove your mask. That's totally fine. Bars are open. Strip clubs are open. Restaurants are open. McDonald's is open. Walmarts are open. Targets are open. You name it. The big box stores are open. Not your mom and pop shop. Not your uncle's little business, okay? Not your parents. Not your grandparents. Not your friend's business. No, those are all shut down. Those are done. Okay, they're gone. they're just being just decimated at an alarming rate. And even if they are open, they're still being just killed, unfortunately. And it's just brutal. And of course, with all these new guidelines, of course, church is not open, right? You can't have funerals. You can't have any gatherings. You can only have people within your core bubble, that they called it. Your core bubble. Yes. And then what other bullshit did they come out with? Yeah, churches aren't open. Churches aren't open. I'm not a religious person, okay? I may be a bit of a spiritual person, but as for religion, I may not be religious. However, if you are, I respect that. And what I also will do is I will also stand up and say that I think that you not being allowed to practice your religion and going to your church, I think that is 100% wrong in so many freaking ways. So, with these new guidelines, okay, this is, if you turn on the news, especially CNN, you will think the sky is falling. You will think that the world is just coming to an end if you watch CNN. It's just brutal. Put CNN on for 15 minutes and you think like, oh my God, you think people are just dying left, right, and center from the coronavirus. But today, I'm going to drop some facts, some logic, and some common sense, okay? Because that's what I like to deal with. That's the pool that I like to wade in, okay? I like to get my feet wet and wade around in the pool of logic, facts, and common sense. Your feelings, check them at the fucking door, okay? Because facts don't care about your feelings. All right? So if you're afraid that you're going to get hurt, okay, and your feelings are going to be hurt, you probably want to turn this off right now, because I will drop facts, logic, and common sense that will most likely hurt your feelings, and it will most likely go against the narrative that you've been told by your so-called trusty news media, okay? So you're probably going to get offended. So, and at the end of the day, I don't care, because logic, facts, and common sense prevail. If you were ever convicted or something and you had to go to court, you would hope that the person who is prosecuting you had what? Logic and facts and maybe even some common sense in there as well.
Because if they just had hurt feelings, well, guess what? And you got thrown in jail? Oh, Jesus. That's not a world I want to live in. That is 100%. For sure. That's for sure. Okay, so let's talk about these bullshit guidelines and why I think they are bullshit. Okay. So we're just going to talk about Canada. We're going to talk about Western Canada, but you can easily do this in your own country, in your own state, in your own province. Okay. Because it's all the same. All right. So Canada, we have a population of 37 million people. All right. We have just tipped over the scale of 11,000 deaths from the coronavirus. Oh my God, 11,000 people have died. Okay. Now, of course, I don't want people to die. All right. It's not what I hope for and want. Unless they're stupid people and we don't need them. Well, you know, the more the merrier of them. We already have an abundance of them. So the more the merrier of them would just be great. So let's come to Western Canada, British Columbia. We have 25,000 cases of the coronavirus, many of which who have recovered, luckily, which is great. Now, you would think that 25,000 cases would be a lot of people, and you would not be wrong. 25,000 is a lot of people. I have been to an event a few years ago that had 5,000 people in the room. It was one of the coolest things I ever seen. 5,000 people just rocking and rolling. I've never seen anything like it. And so, to put this into perspective, down in Vancouver, we actually have an arena. It's where our Vancouver Canucks play hockey. And that arena houses 18,000 people. So 25,000 people, we're talking about 1.5 times. 1.5 times? That'd be 8, 9. Yeah, about 1.5 times what that arena can hold, Rogers Arena. It's a lot of people. It's a lot of people. And you would be right if you thought it was a lot of people as well. So, we're going to do some math today. We're going to use this thing that's in between our ears called our brain. It's pretty easy. I won't, make you work too hard, but just follow along. Okay, I've even got my other phone here so that I can use the calculator. You can use your calculator for this. It's quite easy. Okay, so we have 25,000 cases. I'm not going to talk about the deaths just yet, but we're gonna focus just on the cases of COVID-19 right now. British Columbia, 25,000 cases. Now, our population here in British Columbia is 5 million. That's our population here. So what we want to do is we want to break down the percentage of what is the percentage of people who have coronavirus or who have had it in comparison to our population. Would it be 75% of our population? Would it be 50? Would it be 25%? So that's what we want to do. Okay. So let's just start off with a big number. So we got a 5 million population. How many would that be if 50% of our population had the coronavirus? Well, that would actually be 2.5 million. So we're looking for what number? 25,000. That's what we're looking for, because that's what the cases that we had. Okay, so 2.5 million, that's way too much. So obviously it is not 50%. Now, what if we were to come way down, let's say 10%. 10% of our population, 50 million, that's 5 million, 500,000. 500,000 people at 10%. If 10% of our population in British Columbia got the coronavirus, that would be 500,000 people. Okay. So that's way too much, right? And that's at, what, 25%? 10%. That's at 10%. Whoa. Really? 10%? Interesting. Because you'd almost think that it would have to be 10% or greater of our population, because if you turn on CNN, if you turn on the news, like, holy smokes, they talk about it like people are just dying left, right, and center. People are just fucking, got this virus left, right, and center. But wait. Not even 10% of our population has the coronavirus here in Western Canada? Okay, I don't know, maybe my math's wrong. Maybe you can confirm that. So, that's 500,000, what if we go 5% of 5 million? No, that doesn't work either, because that's 250,000 people. We're looking for 25,000. That's our cases. So if 5%, 5% is not a very big number. That's only 5 cents out of a dollar. So 5% of our population hasn't even got the coronavirus? And that's still 250,000 if it did? Wait a minute. Okay, just wait. Hold on. Okay. So that means, if we're looking for 25,000 cases, we would have to divide 250,000 divided by 10. If my math is correct, and you can double check this for me, please, okay? I would love for someone to just double check this for me. I'm pretty sure we're looking at half a percent of our population in British Columbia, Canada, has had the coronavirus.
Wait.
That's got to be wrong. That's what? No. Half a percent? Wait. Like, no. That's got to be like the deaths, right? We haven't even got to the deaths yet.
Oh shit. Okay. Just
wait. So when I turn on the news, when I turn on the radio, listen to the news, when I turn on CNN, when I turn on Global TV, and I turn on all this stuff, you read the newspapers, you look at the restrictions that they just released yesterday, you would think that people are getting the coronavirus just left, right, and center. You would think that people are just dying left, right, and center. And if my math is correct, which I'm pretty sure it is, because I got a calculator here, half a percent, not 1, not 2%, not 3, not 5, but half a percent of 5 million is 25,000. Holy moly. 25,000. Half a percent. Okay. So that means 99.5% of people are just living life, just doing their thing. 99.5% of people. Holy moly. If you had a 0.5% chance of dying today, would you feel pretty good? Like, pretty good that you weren't going to die today? If you had a 0.5% chance of being hit by a car today, do you think you would feel pretty confident that you were probably not going to be hit by a car today? Well, I know I would. I don't know about you, but I certainly would. Like, if I had a 99.5% chance that I wasn't going to get hit by a car, I'd be walking across every street that there was, feeling pretty confident. Wow, that's, I don't know about you, but that's surprising. Because like I said, when you turn on the news, you turn on the radio, you read the newspapers, like, you would just think that coronavirus is just fucking going wild, right? Like, that's what you would imagine. You would imagine the number would at least be a whole percent, like, at the very least be at least 1%, right? But it's not. Okay, maybe it's the deaths, though. Maybe that's what we're worried about. Maybe that's what is making everybody go crazy right now. And that's why we got to have all these new ridiculous fucking restrictions. Okay, maybe it's the deaths. So let's talk about the deaths. Okay. So once again, Canada, we have hit 11,000 deaths from the coronavirus. Now, that's a lot of people to die. Okay, that's a lot of people to die. Like I said, I don't want people to die. It's not what I'm about. Unless they're stupid people, right? So I'm sure we could all get by with a few less stupid people, ruining our days. So, so let's focus on the deaths. So we got 11,000 deaths in all of Canada, but let's just narrow it down to British Columbia. We're just gonna make things simple because BC is where we've just implemented these new ridiculous fucking restrictions. So the deaths. We check out the deaths of British Columbia, and we have, drumroll please, 321 deaths. That is correct. I did not misread that. Out of 5 million people, 5 million, 321 people. You can damn near count that on one hand.
Oh my God. This can't be true. This can't
be true. Somebody else confirm this for me, please, because this can't be true. This cannot be true. We are shutting down a country. We are shutting down a province. We are shutting down. You can't go to church and practice your religion. You can't see your dying father, your dying mother, your dying grandmother, your dying sister, brother, whatever. You can't see them. You can't visit them. Because 321 fucking people have died in all of BC out of a population of 5 million. I don't know about you, but I'd be pretty fucking mad if a family member of mine passed away and I couldn't see them. I don't know about you, but I would be furious because of something that only 321 people died from. Okay. So, let's just focus on the 25,000 people, which is, remember, that's only 0.5% of the rest of our population. But we're just going to focus on that 25,000 people. So, 321 people out of that 25,000 must be like 50%, right? Right? So we're going to do the same thing that we just did with the other numbers. So 50% of 25,000 is what? 12,500. Wait a minute. So that number's way too big. So obviously it's not 50%. So what is 5%? So that's not it either. Because that's 1,250 people. That's four times what we need. Okay, wait a minute. That's okay. So what is 1%? Oh, okay. Whew. Okay, good. Okay. Good news. It's at least 1%. At least. Okay, at least it's not another 0.5%, because seriously, that would just be fucking, I would probably lose my shit, you know, if it was 0.5% of the 0.5%. So at least we're in a solid, like, figure. We're in a solid 1%, okay? So 1% of 25,000 cases is 250 people. And we're looking for 321. Okay, so at least we're above that threshold. Okay, so that's some good news. Okay, so it's not totally ridiculous. It's just fucking ridiculous. What about 1.5%? Ooh, okay. So unfortunately, we're not even up to 1.5%. Because that's 375 people. Okay. Okay. It looks like 1.3%. Okay. Okay, so tell me again why we're shutting the country down. Tell me again why mom and pop local businesses are having to shut their doors. Tell me again why kids cannot go to school, why people are committing suicide at an alarming rate. Tell me again why divorce rates are skyrocketing. Domestic abuse violence is fucking skyrocketing. All for 1.3% of 0.5% of the population in British Columbia. I'm waiting. Like, someone please tell me the reasoning for this. Because looking at these numbers, I don't know about you, but this is fucking ridiculous. 325 is the number. That is 1.3% of 25,000. Now let's talk about the whole entire... whole entire population. So we're going to take 5 million. Like I said, you can follow along with your calculator. So 5 million, we're going to multiply that by point. And you're going to need the little percentage symbol. You're going to need that in your calculator. 5 million times point 0.0035%. Nope, that's not it. There it is right there. If you take 5 million and you multiply it by 0.0065%, you will get 325. That's not even a tenth of a percent. That's not even a hundredth of a percent. So that means, so basically what we can do is this. So we can take 100 off, 100 minus 0.0065, and we will get a number which is 99.9935%. That is correct. 99.9935% of people will most likely survive from coronavirus. We are shutting down the country, the world. People are dying at an alarming rate from domestic violence, from mental health issues, from suicides, from overdoses, all kinds of things. For a virus that is, that if you turned on CNN and you watched it just for half an hour, you would think that CNN was looking at these numbers backwards. That 99.9935% of people are dying from this virus. That's how CNN makes you feel. When in actuality, 0.0065% of people are dying from this fucking virus. That we are shutting the world down, shutting the economy down. I work with clients. I do marketing. I do websites. And my biggest thing is getting them more customers through their doors. I love emailing a company and a client and saying, we just broke another record this month. Check this out. Your business is now in front of 3,000 more people. It's so exciting. I had a restaurant. He had the best year of 2019. He had to close his doors this year. The most humble, nicest, family-run restaurant man you'd probably ever meet. He was so grateful, so incredibly grateful for the success that his little restaurant had and how we helped him. I loved emailing him and saying, look at what we did. He had a famous Russian TV blog on YouTube come to his restaurant. He had a famous chef, Chef Indonesia, Master Chef Indonesia, Chef Juno, come to his restaurant. He won his TripAdvisor Certificate of Excellence for 2019. He won his Traveler's Choice Award for 2019 through TripAdvisor. He went from about 100 reviews to over 3,000 reviews, I believe it was. And he had to shut his doors this year. For something that kills less than 1/100th of people. Now you can double check my facts, my logic, and my common sense. And I urge you to. So when I see ridiculous fucking restrictions come out in my province, in my home, you better have good reasonings for that. And a 99.99% survival rate is not a good reason for that. I have a higher chance of getting hit by a car when I'm walking through town than I do from dying from the coronavirus. I have a higher chance, probably, dying from something else. Well, most likely. Dying from something else. Anything else but the coronavirus. I have a extremely high chance of dying from many other things other than the coronavirus. So I don't know about you, but the numbers don't add up for me. So if you want me to follow your ridiculous fucking restrictions, you better give me a good reason. Because if you don't, I'm going to tell you to shove those restrictions up your ass. And I have people who, I even had it yesterday. I was talking about masks. I said, fuck those masks. All right. Fuck those masks and fuck your virus with a survival rate of 99.99%. And they said to me, they literally said to me, well, don't you have a grandmother? What about your girlfriend's grandmother? What about your friend's grandmother? What about my grandmother? They try to guilt you into this shit of these restrictions. And I said, hey, okay, I hear what you're saying. You want me to wear a mask because I could potentially kill your grandmother. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's take that logic, okay? We're going to take that logic. And I talked about this a little bit before, but we're going to take that logic. Let's go pre-COVID. You remember the good old days when we used to have birthday parties? We fucking breathe all over, blow out our candles, you know, and then we'd serve that up to people. Remember those good old days? Fuck, them were the days. Them were the days. Where we used to like handshake with people. But I want you to think back to a specific time when you woke up in the morning and you woke up and you're like, oh my God, I feel like shit. Your face is stuffed up, your nose, your throat, you can barely breathe. Oh my God. You remember those days? You remember those fucking days? And what'd you do? Sometimes you'd pick up the phone and you'd be like, yo, boss, I can't come into work today. I'm sick. And what'd your boss say? Your boss is like, fuck that. You're coming into work. Okay? Don't need your stupid ass staying at home today. And you're like, fuck. So what did you do? You went to work. You went to school. You went to class. Whatever you did, you went to the office. Whatever it was, you went. Sneezing, coughing, runny nose, just fucking popping pills, thinking that that's going to help you. You're like, oh, yeah. Did you ever wear a mask? Did you ever wear a mask? Like, That's an honest question. Did you ever wear a mask, and did the thought of wearing a mask ever come to you in that situation? Did the thought that you being sick with that virus right then and there, you could pass that on to someone? You could pass that on to someone who was very highly susceptible to a virus and very fragile. Let's say you passed it on to somebody else who then passed it on to their grandmother. So you killed their grandmother. So I bet you killed just as many grandparents, if not more, as I have pre-COVID. So now all of a sudden you're some fucking high and mighty Mr. fucking hero, Mrs. fucking hero, with your stupid ass mask. For a virus that has a 99.9999%, I said 0.99. Like, we use Lysol on our desks that kills 99.99% of viruses. Why do we use Lysol? Because that's a high number. That's basically 100%. So basically, you have a 100% chance of survival. Oh, you just can't make this shit up. And I'm the fucking conspiracy theorist. I'm the crazy one. No, I'm the fucking one who's got a brain in between his ears, who can think for himself, who doesn't need the media, the TV, and the bullshit to tell me how to think and what to think. I can take what they tell me and say, hey, wait a minute. This just doesn't add up. Why are we shutting everything down for something that literally has a 99.99% survival rate? Oh, and you also want you want me to drop another fucking fact on top of your head while I just dropped everything else? Well, guess what? What's the average age of the person who dies from the COVID-19 fucking virus? 70 goddamn fucking years old. 70 fucking years old is the average age of someone who dies from the coronavirus. 70 years old. So I don't know about you, but I think it is highly wrong. Highly, highly wrong. Incredibly, disgustingly wrong. What we are doing to our country, what we are doing to our people, what we are doing to our rights and our freedoms. For something that has a 99.99% survival rate, with the average person dying is 70 fucking years old. I'm 34 years old next week. People think I'm crazy because I don't want to wear a fucking mask. Oh my God. People wonder why I think I'm from another planet. Because you cannot make this shit up. 1 + 1 = 2. You can take out your calculator and you can run the numbers just like I have. And you will get the same exact answers just like I have. My hope for you and my hope for them is that they realize the shit that they've been told. So I will leave you at that. That we are shutting down the country. We are killing people. People are going through incredible things mentally for something that has a 99.99% survival rate. And who's doing this? Your government is doing this. Your media is doing this. The people who you are supposed to trust and turn to are doing this. I am not killing your grandmother. They are. I'm not the reason you can't see your dying grandma. They are. So hopefully you can wake up and you can smell the shit.